Welcome to the show. It's Abby Nation Sports Talk. We are up and rolling on a Tuesday along with Jesse Stiers. I'm Sean Stiers. We just got the official word, the official news. Hannah Hidalgo is the ACC Women's Basketball Player of the Year. They just announced that at 5 o'clock. That's why I was a little bit behind. I had like my story written. I had to paste in, you know, like the first team, the second team. Hidalgo became just the third player ever in ACC history to receive both the Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year awards in the same season. She got both of them. She was Defensive Player of the Year, of course, last year as a freshman as well. She repeated with that honor. Olivia Miles and Sonia Citron also both named to the ACC first team. Citron also named to the all defensive team. And Leah Tukin got second team. Kate Koval was named to the all freshman team. NC State head coach Wes Moore, the coach of the year. Neil Ivey finished runner up for coach of the year. Sharman Smith from Cal finished third in that department. So congratulations to Hannah Hidalgo. We've got a lot of women's basketball stuff coming up in a little bit. We did a little mailbag on the Champions Lounge, so we'll be getting to that in a little bit. We're going to start with a little Notre Dame football here in a second. But first, how are you today, Jess?
I'm doing pretty great, actually. 65 degrees out.
Is it really?
Yeah, again, the sun is shining. It's 65 degrees out. Got my workout, my cardio workout in this morning at 6 a.m. So as soon as we're done with the show, I think I owe the dogs a nice walk outside. It's been a long time since we've done that. Their energy is all pent up. They're starting to act bad because they haven't been outside in a walk. So that's looking forward to that. But other than that, I got nothing going on. Naomi's out of town again for the whole week. So it's just me, the dogs, and working. But I have a lot of work this week, so it's always nice when Naomi's gone on the weeks that I'm busiest, because then she can't complain about me working late. So
there you go.
She's got a lot to get done this week.
Yep. DK, come on, man. Head out of the gutter.
Man.
Andre was trying to find session tickets for Saturday's ACC Women's Basketball Tournament yesterday. He said it's all sold out. I bet, Andre, by the end of the week, basically by the end of the day, Friday, there'll be some tickets that'll be available again, because what happens is, you know, they get bought up by multiple fan bases. And then as, you know, teams get eliminated, people go to sell their tickets. So I'm sure you'll find some. You'll have a hard time. Saturday is the semifinals. There's only two games. If NC State and North Carolina were to both end up in there, then you'll
it's
have
in Greensboro, right?
Early, yes, it is in Greensboro. Or even Duke, you know, Duke being in there as well. So
I'll save my Notre Dame women's comments until the mailbag. But the only thing I'm curious of right off the bat, who won ACC Coach of the Year last season?
Last season, off the top of my head, I don't remember. Neil Ivey got it 2 years ago. I can't remember who last year's was, though.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up. Do you want to do some breakout predictions for the spring?
I do want to do some breakout predictions for the spring. I think that there are a couple positions that are more maybe plentiful than others, but I think that's our job, to put together a team here of breakout stars. And this is my favorite tradition, because I think I've beaten you every year we've done this.
Well, I know you beat me once when you picked Rocco Spindler. So I don't know about every year. I don't know if you did last year or not.
I know that DK probably has the notes somewhere. So we can pull up the archives.
Who has the notes somewhere?
I think DK does. He's always giving me a hard time about my breakout players, or, you know, when we do these kind of draft things, and he likes to rub it in my face when it doesn't go as well as projected. So I know he's got those somewhere.
Oh, he likes to rub it in your face. That's for sure. All right. So who's going to go first on this? Should I get to go first since you know,
the last 2 years? Crazy, because I know what you want to do with the first pick. I got home today from work and I was like, that first pick is going to be pretty crucial in this year's spring
draft.
All right.
I'm going to write a number down and I will let you. I will let you pick a number between 1 and 10. If you are, how are we going to do this?
You want to just do closest?
Yeah.
Well, if it's even, I get it. If it's odd, you get it.
What do you mean even?
I'm just trying to think of.
Do you have a coin? Do you have a coin you can flip?
I do have a coin.
I was looking. I couldn't find it. You know what? I can get a coin here in just a second, unless you have one nearby.
I got
what
this.
Is that?
It's a coin.
Okay. So the blue side will be heads. The white side will be tails.
Okay. You call it in the air.
You want me to call it?
Yep.
Heads.
Blue side it is. You win.
Boom, baby. So where am I going? Who do you think I'm going with here?
You're going with CJ Carr. Just say it.
You're damn right I am. Because I was thinking about this, like who's gonna be the first pick? Will Jesse pick would he pick CJ Carr right off the bat? And I'm like, I think that I need CJ Carr pretty badly. I think he's going to emerge. You know, we were talking quarterbacks yesterday, and I just feel like we did word association for these guys, and like when I look at CJ Carr, the guy that we saw last spring. You know, just all like there's so much there, you know, like the feel for the game, the presence in the pocket, you know, like all these different things, the touch and the anticipation on the throws. Like, I just feel like I would put him in the group of guys like Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, you know, guys who played for, you know, sons of NFL quarterbacks. And even though like Carr didn't play for, you know, he's not the son of an NFL quarterback. Obviously he's the son of Lloyd Carr and, you know, Michigan, you know, and his dad played for Michigan and the whole thing as well. So like just the pedigree that he's got, you can tell that he grew up in the game, just everything that he's, you know, got it's beyond just the tools. There's just so much there. So I'm jumping on CJ Carr. Did it disappoint you that I was able
to? Yeah, it disappoints me, but now I don't have to take a quarterback until like the very end, potentially, even if I do take a quarterback. Yeah, it's just the hard part is positionally there's only a certain amount of guys who you could probably consider, you know, a breakout, I guess.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, like would you even pick another quarterback at this point?
It's not really worth it at the end of the day.
Right. Right.
Well, I'm not going to give you my strategy. So I'll just kind of, I'll go with my next pick here. In my round one pick of the 2025 spring breakout candidates, I would like to select Jadon Blair.
Okay. That's kind of a bold pick right out of the box there.
I think that the free safety position is now obviously open. And because of Xavier Watts leaving, obviously we know Adon Shuler is going to be the other safety. We know that Gray and Moore are going to be your corners. So I think the only hole in the secondary is what you're going to do with the other safety position.
Right.
And I know Jadon Blair is a young guy, and he might not even be the day one starter. I know that that's kind of the whole reason for getting Jalen Stroman to transfer over from Virginia Tech. But at the end of the day, I think that it's going to be probably some sort of rotation. And even if Blair doesn't get the starting spot, I think he's going to show out in the spring game and at least solidify himself on the two deep at the safety position. So I think this is his spring to really break out and show why he belongs, you know, on the two deep and maybe even competing for that starting spot. And I know he was a highly touted recruit, and he's got some big shoes to fill in Xavier Watts. So, you know, the way I'm going about this is there's holes to fill in certain spots. A lot of these other spots have a lot of returning guys. So I'm going to take a swing at it and go with Jadon Blair.
No, I mean, there's a ton of talent there, and I don't think you can go wrong with that. Again, it's fairly bold right out of the gates. In fact,
well, we know I'm bold.
You are bold. I mean, it was fairly bold. Was it bold when you took Rocco Spindler
a couple
years ago?
It was before Rocco was even – he was not a starter in any capacity when I took him.
That's true. That's true. You went all out, so I guess that was fairly bold. I've actually – on the short list that I put together, I've got a couple safeties on it. And I didn't include Jadon Blair on mine. Before I give my next pick, a couple of different people chiming in. Connor Law says,
No one put any names in the chat because you're going to give the guy here that did limited research the answers. All right.
Connor Law is going with KK Smith on offense, Armel Mukum on defense. Mukum is on my list, and it's going to depend on, you know, how these picks go and whether or not he ends up on, you know, my actual drafted list. There's just nothing that we've seen so far that makes me say KK Smith is going to break out this spring. Like, he's one of those guys that, you know, obviously he's dealt with some injuries in his time at Notre Dame, but he was healthy this past season and we just barely saw him, you know? And so there's just nothing that leads me to say he's definitely going to break out this spring or come close to breaking out this spring. He could. He's been around a while now. He's going into his junior year, but I have a hard time. That would be, for me, just going too far out on a limb because there's so much talent in that wide receiver room. And rather than go in the KK Smith direction, this is the direction I'm going in. Jason Smith, Micah Gilbert, another fan favorite, Micah Gilbert. And he flashed a little bit, you know, in practice time last year. Again, like a guy that we didn't see that much of necessarily on the field. We saw some of him, but not a ton of him. But I'm going to go with Micah Gilbert. I like the size. I like the speed. I like, you know, all that combination that Micah Gilbert brings. And like the pairing with CJ Carr, because, you know, they were both, you know, lower on the depth chart last season. And so there might be a little bit of a connection there already with CJ Carr and Micah Gilbert, a couple of freshmen last season. So I'm going with Gilbert as my number two pick. What do you think of that?
That's all right. I was going to go with the wide receiver. Okay. Micah Gilbert's now gone. So I know you're not going to double up on wide receiver. So I'm going to save my wide. You taking quarterback wide receiver just allowed me to kind of hit some other priorities. I don't know how hard I want to swing on this one.
Adam likes your first pick, by the way.
Thank you, Adam. Someone game recognizes game at the end of the day.
Before we go any further, do we need to clarify first, is Charles Jagasaw eligible?
He is not eligible.
You don't consider him eligible?
No, because he was
so you consider him kind of above the line. You consider him above the
line.
Yeah,
I mean, like he would have been a starter
last year. Okay, that's fair. I just want a clarification since he hasn't played a whole lot. So
I have to go my next pick because I don't think you're – well, I'm stuck because I feel like I have two names, and if I don't pick one, you're going to grab the other, and I want both of them. I'm going to go with Gerby Lambert as my next pick.
I like it.
Hopefully that wasn't on your radar. But I think that there's obviously, you know, there's a lot in front of him. in terms of, you know, Billy Shrout is coming back. Charles Jagasaw will be back. Ashton Craig will be back. Anthony Knapp will be back. And Emil Wagner will be back. But, you know, it feels like that this offensive line always kind of needs a six man, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it always seems like that the offensive line is kind of ever changing throughout the season. We've not seen a season from like start to finish where the offensive line has just been set. And so, you know, going into spring and fall, I think that Gurbi Lambert has the opportunity potentially to get one of those starting spots. And I think he's got the frame. And I think there's really ultimately two or three offensive linemen on this team that are following kind of the footsteps of, you know, Zach Martin, Joe Alt, Blake Fisher. Like, there's guys who can
Ronnie Stanley
continue the lineage at offensive line. I think there's two or three of them. And I think Lambert's one of them. I just don't know if he's ready yet this year, but I'm willing to roll the dice on his talent and frame.
And I mean, you know, because of recruiting ranking and all that kind of stuff, you know, he's a guy who people are pretty anxious to see out there. Like, quickly, there are people predicting that he's going to be starting next year because of that. And, you know, and that becomes a situation of, well, if he's going to start, then who are you displacing? You know, like, we've talked a lot about Emil Wagner in the season that he had. I mean, he is in the top five, according to Pro Football Focus. Lambert is, in terms of returning offensive linemen in the entire nation, power four, you know. But like, there's some people who'd say, well, you know, just get rid of Lambert. You got Gurbi Lambert, you got Jagasaw as an option. You know, what's going to happen with Anthony Knapp as well? I think most of us think that he's going to end up being an interior lineman, but you know, that there are spots that end up getting eaten up. So I think Gurbi Lambert is a really good pick, especially for the spring, because I think that he's going to get some looks out there. Because I'm going to be really curious to see what they do, you know, with so many veterans. You know, like, do we see just a ton of young guys out there in the spring quite a bit, you know, to kind of lighten the load on some of these veterans who played so many snaps last season? You know what I mean? So I think that's a very distinct possibility. Now, I want to get more clarification here, because we really didn't set any guidelines beforehand. Are guys who were part of the two deep last year eligible to be on the breakout list? You know, like, maybe they were a number two guy. They're not a star yet. You know, they were kind of a role player last year. Are those kind of guys eligible to be on this?
I think you could make the case. The way I kind of looked at it,
okay, was, going like, Bryce guys, Young then.
All right, then.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I mean, Bryce Young, you could make the argument with, is he didn't really play a whole lot of defensive snaps. He was mainly just a special teams guy. And so I would consider, unfortunately, I would consider him a breakout, because I don't think he really played a whole bunch of actual meaningful defensive snaps. You know what I mean? He was, yeah.
He was in the rotation. He played, but not as much. Like, you did see him out there. You saw Burnham out there, but you also saw, you know, RJ Oben obviously still played a lot. So, you know, there was quite a bit of a rotation, and obviously, you know, there's so much upside with Bryce Young. And I think that with him being in this system for a year and kind of getting a taste of it, and now being able to continue to build that body up, get a little bit stronger. And, you know, he's already very twitchy and able to do a lot of different things. I think that Bryce Young is a guy, because you don't have a veteran like RJ Oben, you know, kind of occupying that anymore. And I think Burnham is kind of in that same conversation as well, but I really like Bryce Young to break out and really kind of set himself above and beyond this spring.
Yeah.
Are you mad at me for snatching him up?
No, I'm mad at myself, to be honest with you. I don't think we can count Rubio and Heinisch, so
I agree.
My next pick has to be.
You know what? You know what? I think you can count. I think you can count Rubio. I think you can count Rubio. Because obviously he started at the end of the season, but he was still more a rotation guy before the Riley Mills injury. So I think Rubio is eligible for this if you want him.
Well, the only thing about Rubio is I think he's kind of one-dimensional he's at right now. I don't know what kind of shape he's going to come into spring and fall. So I think if he lost about 10, 15 pounds and but that's the thing, though, is you might not want him to lose 10 or 15 pounds because he's an excellent double team on first and second down.
Yeah. He's but the biggest, he's not really, biggest guy they've got. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not really a guy that – like, you're not going to keep him on third down to get a pass rush. You know what I mean? He can't really – he's not serving as both. And if you love him as a run stuffer and a guy who eats a double team, you're not really going to ask him to lose weight. He's just going to be a guy that's predominantly in there to stuff the run, right? I think I'm going to go with Armel Mookum.
Okay, because I like
someone,
that too.
Someone has to step up. With Will Howard and Riley Mills obviously gone. And we know that, you know, right now Gabriel Rubio and Donovan Hines would be your quote unquote number ones. But also what we've seen is the defensive line is constantly rotating, right? Like you need depth at 1, 2, and 3. So I think that Mookum is going to provide a lot of depth and definitely have an impact and a guy I feel like that hasn't necessarily, you know, broken out in any degree yet. So I'm going to go with Armel Mookum.
I like it. I like it. He was on my list and, you know, again, someone I was considering, and I think what kind of made me hesitate a little bit is because of the injury to Riley Mills. He, you know, there was an opportunity for him to get himself on the field, but it never, you know, those last few games after the Indiana game, but it never materialized. But again, young, you know, really young, good size, just wasn't quite ready last year. But I think spring is, you know, presents him a really good opportunity to kind of show what he can do. Because again, I think we're going to see a lot of depth guys out there. So I think he's going to have some opportunities to flash his stuff. So yes, I like it. Good call. Okay, so for me, again, I made kind of a short list. I've got, you took Jadon Blair, which again, I think is a good pick. I don't, you know, I just don't know because he's a freshman, you know, what that's going to look like walking in the door as an early enrollee. To me, it comes down to Luke Talich or Kennedy Urlacher. Those are the two safeties that I'm looking at. And like you remember seeing Talich, on that, the punt coverage. Remember that when he leveled that dude?
Yeah.
And obviously we got to see what Kennedy Urlacher could do coming downhill in some limited opportunities. We got to see him on special teams as well. I'm going to go Urlacher though. You know, again, with that opening out there, I feel like what he was able to show that he could do last year in those special teams opportunities and those limited reps that he was able to get in games, just the way he's able to fly downhill. And obviously, you know, he can lay the boom on somebody, you know, very genetic, I think, for Kennedy Urlacher. So I'm going to go with Urlacher as my fourth and final pick.
You sure we don't want to go to five?
We can go to five if you want to go to five.
Okay, let's go to five.
Okay.
That makes this pick a lot easier. I'm going to grab up Cam Williams since you grabbed up Micah Gilbert.
I like that. That's another good one.
I just think that, I mean, we've talked about it. This passing game is going to open up more so than last year. With any of the quarterbacks, you know, Minshew, Angeli, or Carr. And someone's got to step up. And I know that there's some big names in front of them. You got Faison, Greathouse.
I doubt we see much of Faison in the spring because.
Which is great for these guys.
Yeah. Like he sat the first couple lacrosse games because. You know, they still wanted to make sure that he was getting the proper amount of rest after the football season was over. And so I don't think he's going to do much football this spring. He's proven himself in terms of football. I mean, he's going into his junior season now, you know, so I don't think we're going to see much of him. And you know, Fields isn't here yet. So, I mean, it just, that opens the door for some of these young wide receivers like Cam Williams. So I think,
and we're not, we can't count any of the transfers, right? Because they've already broken out at their prior
school. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. But they've obviously played a lot at their other school, so I don't count them as breakout guys.
Nice.
All right. So you've got four. I've got four. I am going to go.
Do I get to snake the last pick since you went first?
Go ahead. Yeah, you can do that. Take one more and then I'll make mine.
Okay. I got to go with Madden Faramo.
Okay.
Faramo. Okay. This was hard for me because I think you could pool together Zenter, Bode, and Madden into a group, the three linebackers. Because, I mean, if you look at the quote-unquote starters, you've got KVA, Drake Bowen, Jalen Snead, and Osbury, kind of your sixth man in the linebacker rotation. But, again, another thing that we saw this season is if you're talented and you can make an impact, they're going to get you in on the field as a linebacker. And I think that Madden has a ton of talent. I think, obviously, you know, Zenter and Bode might be ahead of him in terms of, you know, familiarization with the defense, just being in the system a little bit longer. But I think Madden is just overall more raw talented. And so I think that that raw talent is at some point going to surpass. And we saw KVA get on the field, you know, this past season and kind of increasing his role as the season went on. And I see a pretty similar situation for Madden, or at least I'm hoping. So I had to grab one of the linebackers, and I wanted to go with the most talented one. So that's where I'm at.
I think that's a good one. I think that's a good one. And I'm going linebacker as well. And you mentioned his name a couple of different times. I'm going to go with Zenter because this is a guy.
So would you have gone Zenter? If I gave you the pick before me, would you have gone Zenter or would you have gone Madden?
The only reason that I'm not going Madden is because he is a true freshman. Early enrollee, because like KVA, you know, got out there last spring and he was on the field and, you know, he looked solid. He looked good, but I wouldn't call it a breakout spring by any means. Now, obviously, by the time, you know, fall camp rolled around and he continued, you know, familiarization and all that kind of stuff to get his feet underneath him, he was obviously a significant contributor. So I'm not going with Faramo just for that reason, just because he's like, you've got a couple of true freshmen early enrollees.
Rolling the die, baby.
And it is, I do think it's a little bit of a roll of the dice to say they're going to break out in the spring. Like if it's fall camp after they've been through the spring, I think that maybe there's an opportunity, but I was kind of staying away from them as talented as they are. And as good as I think that they're ultimately going to be in their careers, that's kind of why I was staying away from them for the spring. And that's why I'm going with Zenter, because I think that this is a really important spring for him. You know, again, going into his junior season, he's been in the system now for a while. You know, again, like a guy who's contributed to, you know, a lesser extent, but a real opportunity now with a guy like Jack Kaiser leaving for Preston Zenter, you know, to maybe work his way in there and be a part of that rotation next fall.
Are you happy we went to five?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was on the bubble, you know, just like in terms of who I was going to go with. So here's what the lists ended up looking like. Our spring breakout predictions for this spring. I've got CJ Carr, Micah Gilbert, Bryce Young, Kennedy Urlacher, and Preston Zenter. Jesse has Jadon Blair, Gerby Lambert, Armel Mookum, Cam Williams, Madden Faramo. I have to say I like my list a little bit more. I think you've got like some
I had to work for mine a little bit.
You gambled a little bit more. And I think that if yours come, like, you've got a chance, you know, like there's high upside, right?
I have
like
a higher boom, but also a lower bust.
Yeah. Well, a lower bust or a bigger bust?
Bigger, yeah, like bigger boom and bust, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I'd feel pretty good. Like, if I was fielding a real team, I'd feel really good with the five guys that I got out of that. If they were just going to go out there and play some sandlot or flag football or something.
You know, you getting Carr is obviously big. So you getting the number one kind of increased my, like you were saying, my kind of roll of the dice selections. I think I would have went safer if I could have grabbed CJ Carr number one, but that's a big mountain to make up, because I think CJ Carr is going to be the spring breakout player. So
I do too. Coin flip, baby. Coin flip got me. I like it.